dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host. I am privileged to be able to join you in a tour of the battle space of what I think of as the war for the free world with several of its most formidable combatants, as I think of it, starting with a former Attorney General of the United States. His name is Michael Mukasey. He kept his very distinguished service to our country in that capacity at the tail end of the Bush administration, having served for many years prior to that as a federal judge and in other prosecutorial capacities. In his judgeship capacity, he presided over the prosecution of the perpetrators of the first attack on the World Trade Center, an instance of jihadist violence that was up to that point one of the worst in the country's history, and unfortunately just a foretaste of what was to come in 2001. General Mukasey, we are very pleased to have you with us once again at Secure Freedom Radio. Judge, you delivered a most extraordinary address to the Federalist Society here in Washington, D.C. on Veterans Day, in which you got really into the questions of jihadism, both of a violent and stealthy kind, and what animates it in a way that I think, it seems to me it's the most impressive treatment of the matter by any senior official in the United States government in my memory. And I wanted to visit with you a little bit about both what you said on that occasion and what the takeaways are. Give us a sense, if you would, of what you conveyed to the Federalist Society on Veterans Day.
Well, it was a long speech, as you know, because you listened to it.
I did indeed.
But I think the sense of the part, certainly, that you're talking about is that we are 10 years down from 9/11, which was certainly not the first instance of Islamist violence in this country, and it certainly wasn't the beginning of the Islamist campaign against this country based on a whole history that I outlined in the speech. Mm-hmm. And I said that I believe that what animated, and it's the question of my belief, what animates this is Sharia, and what is regrettably a mainstream reading of Sharia, which commands a variety of things, including jihad, which essentially is the forcible imposition of Sharia around the world. And that we cannot, because of political correctness or wishful thinking, or any other instinct, close our eyes to that. That doesn't mean that we have to demonize all Muslims or even most Muslims, certainly not the ones living among us. There are millions of Muslims here who are loyal Americans, but we have to understand what it is that animates those who are not. And instead of empowering groups that purport to speak in behalf of Muslims, but actually speak in behalf of the Muslim Brotherhood, we should instead develop ties with those people who are working to, really from the inside, to develop alternative interpretations that are much more consistent with maintaining Western civilization.
There's so much there that I wanted to develop with you. We're speaking again with former Attorney General of the United States, Michael Mukasey. This whole matter of an underlying doctrine that is inspiring and animating or mandating jihadism of both the violent kind and a more stealthy sort, is is on display as we speak. We've just had a new plot uncovered by the New York Police Department, as you know, Judge, involving someone who claimed to be inspired by the Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula's now late leader, Anwar al-Awlaki, and Inspire magazine, which he had been responsible for bringing to us. To what extent does this really suggest that the characterization of such individuals as lone wolves really misses some of this sort of connective tissue that we have to understand if we're to deal with them properly?
Well, I think lone wolf is really a term of art in a way that's used in statute, and specifically in the act that was enacted right after 9/11, the USA Patriot Act, to protect against somebody who does not have formal ties to a particular organization, mm-hmm. and allow the use of the statute even against such people.
Does it bespeak a seeming disconnect from the reality that these people are indeed not quite as lone as we might believe?
Oh, for sure, because as you said, he was inspired by Inspire magazine, which was brought to us not only by al-Awlaki, but by another American who was also killed in the same drone attack that killed al-Awlaki. But I'm sorry to say that because his name was not on the list of those who were targeted, our State Department actually called his family and apologized. Notwithstanding that this fellow edited the magazine, that the magazine contained articles including how to build a bomb, including exhorting people to imitate Ifdal Hassan, including exhorting people to, for example, drive SUVs equipped with sharp objects on the front through crowds so that they could inflict the maximum amount of mayhem. All sorts of rampant violence and sadism of that kind. Nonetheless, because he was killed in that raid, the State Department called up and apologized to his family.
To what extent, Judge Mukasey, does this seem to reflect not just a degree conformity to the law, but a political correctness, as you put it, that is interpreted by our enemies as submission? And therefore encourages them to redouble their efforts to make us feel subdued, as the Quran says.
Well, I don't know what effect it has on them, and I'm not about to read their minds, but I can tell you that it has to have a less than productive effect on Muslims who live in the United States, who are disinclined to engage in that kind of behavior, but feel that they lack a voice because the government is constantly leaning over backward and reaching out to the most militant groups, and so they feel disempowered. I think that's really where the major damage lies.
Yeah, that's such an important point, Judge Mukasey. I'm going to ask you to bear with us for a moment. We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back with former Attorney General Michael Mukasey, we'll visit not only more about some of the insights from his very important speech before the Federalist Society in Washington, D.C. on November 11th, Veterans Day, which I commend to all of you, really required viewing if you want to have an appreciation of the challenge of our time, the threat posed to us by Sharia and its adherents. We'll be also talking with the former Attorney General about what we should be doing now to do a better job of countering that threat. All of that and more straight ahead.
Know what you think here at Secure Freedom Radio. Leave your comments or questions for us at 1-800-332-7131. That's 1-800-332-7131.
Charlie!
Hey, did you see that play last night?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and they still lost.
Chef. You know, when I was playing, what we tried to...
You played in the street.
I played in the service.
Oh,
anyway,
oh.
What I'm trying to say is the kid, he should have...
Hey, you okay? Someone call 911!
Two out of three people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke, but you can lower the risk. Ask your healthcare provider how. For more info, go to diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
I was able to lose the 80 pounds I gained due to pregnancy. It was pretty easy to eat whatever I wanted and not think about it.
The Meta System from Judy Singer has been helping make weight loss easier for a quarter century.
My husband's grandmother used it 20 years ago to lose weight for a wedding and said it was the only way to go.
The Meta System also has an excellent support staff.
They were very supportive. The first time that I ordered the product, they called me and suggested that I order a lower dosage to begin with. They didn't want me to jump the gun right off the bat, and it was nice to know that they actually cared.
And the weight loss is so dramatic, people wonder.
With the Meta System, I've got many questions about how I managed raising a baby and working full-time and lose the weight and eat whatever I wanted.
People who use it recommend it.
I suggested the Meta System to my mother, and she has lost 30 pounds.
Learn more about weight loss with Judy Singer's The Meta System by calling 800-711-JUDY, 800-711-JUDY. The Meta System from Judy Singer, the powerful, all-natural way to lose weight, 800-711-JUDY.
The first step in winning a war is to know whom you're fighting. 9 years after 9/11, the U.S. security establishment has failed to tell us. The very words we need to describe the war are being outlawed. We went from the war on terror under Bush to the war on man-made disasters under Obama. Neither identifies the threat doctrine behind the aggression, Islamic Sharia law. That's why the Center for Security Policy assembled Team B, an independent group of national security professionals, including Bill Clinton's Director of Central Intelligence, James Woolsey. The result is a book that challenges the assumptions of the current administration and exposes the supremacist nature of Sharia and the jihad its adherents are obliged to engage in. This report names the names of those responsible and makes plain the mortal peril now posed to America's Constitution, our national security, and way of life. For more information, visit ShariaTheThreat.com or order your copy of Sharia, The Threat to America at Amazon.com.
Congress doesn't have a budget for 2011, but the GOP has proposed a budget for 2012, and Bill Bennett likes it.
Maybe it helps to have that 2012 in the background, people hearing and seeing Ryan and the Republicans saying we're serious about really cutting the budget.
As a backdrop
to this debate about 2011, people make the decision, well, Republicans seem much more serious about this.
Bill Bennett's Morning in America, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 1260 WRC. New choice, intelligent talk.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back with Judge Michael Mukasey, President George W. Bush's last Attorney General of the United States. I have had the privilege of interacting with a number of times, but found most especially impressive in connection with a speech that he made before the Federalist Society on Veterans Day, and we've been talking a little bit about some of the insights that the judge passed along in that speech. And what I'd like to visit with you further about, if I can, Judge Mukasey, is sort of where do we go from here, given what you've said about the threat posed by Sharia, the fact that the enemy, notably the Muslim Brotherhood, is waging a stealthy form of jihad in our own country, as well as the violent sorts of jihad there and elsewhere, what we do about it. And if I may just ask you perhaps a personal question, how much did you understand of all of this when you were in your official capacities, presiding as a judge and then subsequently in the Department of Justice? Was this as clear to you then as it is now?
Oh, not by any means. And it's also a gradual process. I will tell you that I had an aha moment during the trial when we played a tape of the informant. Mercifully, they had infiltrated the conspiracy to blow up New York City landmarks, and so there was an informant who made recorded conversations. And during one conversation with a defendant, where they were walking on Canal Street in New York looking for something they could use as a detonator, the defendant looked around and said, look at this society. They're so open. You can buy even this electronic equipment that you could use as a detonator. And then he segued from that and said, well, you can buy pornography. All kinds of things are available here. And he did not regard that as a strength, but rather as a sign that our society was corrupt and rotten to the core and would fall in the face of pressure from militant Islam. And it was at that point that I realized that these folks hold us in some combination of awe and contempt, with the major ingredient being contempt.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to understand.
Well, and it goes back to what we were talking about a little bit before the break of the extent to which submission, however we dress it up, political correctness, multiculturalism, sensitivity, tolerance, what have you, may well be interpreted very differently and have a negative effect. Judge, this business about understanding the nature of the problem brings me to the next question I wanted to visit with you. There is now in the Obama administration a policy in effect that directs that all training done in connection with what they call combating violent extremism, as you know, the officially approved euphemism, so as not to give offense to anybody, which goes back to that submission point.
Well, that's the title of their brochure, which is misleading for several reasons. First of all, it's not necessarily entirely the violence that's the major threat. Mm-hmm. These people aren't blowing things up and killing people because they enjoy doing it. They're doing it in order to impose Sharia. And secondly, it may very well not be extremism in the sense that it is drawn from the mainstream or what is claimed to be doctrinally the mainstream of a religion. And we ought to wake up to that.
Yeah. Well, aside from those small problems, Mrs. Lincoln, the question I guess I was getting at is, even if you had it right that, you were combating violent extremism, the concern is that the Department of Homeland Security has now promulgated guidelines which say in order to do training about all this, you have to effectively get the permission of community leaders. And as you were saying before, Judge Mukasey, that pretty clearly means the permission of the Muslim Brotherhood. What's up with that?
Well, if you're talking about the organizations that press themselves forward as spokespeople, CARE, the Conference on American Islamic Relations. The Council on American Islamic Relations. ISMA, the Islamic Society of North America, mm-hmm. and other related organizations. They are and have been found to be arms of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, it's not so much that that's who I'm talking about, but I'm afraid that's who the Obama administration is talking about, not only talking to and working with, but specifically who they have in mind in terms of having, you know, the New York Police Department and the Federal Bureau of Investigations and the CIA and everybody else have to ensure that their trainers and their training materials pass muster with these guys. And just from a practical point of view, Judge Mukasey, understanding what you do about this threat doctrine and the Brotherhood, what is the likelihood that we will be, well, made even more willfully blind should we allow this practice to be followed in the future?
Well, I think allowing this practice be followed in the future simply diminishes our capacity to understand and anticipate and fend off this phenomenon. And where that heads, you need only look at what's happened to places in Europe. The suburbs of Paris, various suburbs in England, even in Sweden, where there are enclaves of Muslims who live under Sharia law, which essentially constitute no-go zones for the police. If that is the sort of thing that's coming here, then that's something we really want to avoid.
There is, as you may know, some evidence that it has begun happening here in communities like Dearborn and Jamaat ul-Fukra camps and the like. But I very much take your point, Judge Mukasey, that it gets worse, especially if people like yourself in the kinds of positions you formerly held are denied the sorts of insights that you have obtained about Sharia and its perpetrators. Let me ask you this, Judge. As you've reflected on the problem, Are there, besides being clear-eyed about its nature, are there specific things that you would recommend, were you Attorney General today or simply offering your advice to the President of the United States or the Congress, for that matter, be done to try to remedy this problem and reduce our vulnerability to it?
Well, I think we ought to reach out to people like Dr. Zudi Jasser and his organization. There are other organizations. And instead of reaching out to the loudmouths, reach out to people of moderate views and rely on them for ties to the Muslim community. And be aware of the problem. I mean, that's the beginning of wisdom. The government cannot officially, the First Amendment really bars the government officially from picking winners and losers in doctrinal disputes within Islam. That's up to Muslims to do. But certainly we can stop, empowering, the people who want to destroy this country, and start empowering people who want to save it.
Yeah.
To quote, you mentioned Abraham Lincoln before. Abraham Lincoln said, "We must disenthrall ourselves," and that's the first step.
Well said, both by you and by Abraham Lincoln, who I'm sure, were he with us today, would certainly be recognizing this as the seditious doctrine that it is. And just very quickly, Judge, we only have about a minute left, but could I ask you to speak to that point when you confront? Something that is dressed up as or perhaps masquerading as a religion, but that is really fundamentally a political program and seditious in character because it explicitly seeks the overthrow of the U.S. government. Is that not something that we need to define differently than we have to this point? That is to say, not a protected practice, but one that should be, well, prosecuted as appropriate.
Well, I think we need to be very careful when it comes to what we prosecute and what we don't prosecute. I mean, that comes perilously close to saying that we prosecute people for pursuing wrongheadedly, in my view, but for pursuing what they believe to be a religious, a set of religious beliefs. And I'm not for prosecuting anybody on that basis. But when statements of belief become signals to action, then we can prosecute and should. And the fact that those signals to action come in the form of speech doesn't make them protected.
Right.
There are very few crimes, as I once pointed out, that are committed in pantomime.
There you go. Judge Mukasey, I appreciate so much, sir, your visiting with us here at Secure Freedom Radio, and I hope you will come back to us again soon. Thank you for your courage and your articulate explanation of the kind of challenges that we need to understand about Sharia. And God bless you, sir. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks
soon.
Very much.
Next up, some thoughts from me about what all this means for our budget deficit as well as our national security. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hey parents, finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, you know, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, a fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
For decades, the Democratic Republic of Congo has endured economic collapse, poverty, and war. More than 3.5 million people have died in the conflict. Today, rebel forces continue to wreak havoc in the eastern Kivu provinces. The International Rescue Committee estimates that 30,000 children have been recruited as soldiers, and thousands more have lost their parents. Most of these children lack the most basic level of goods, security, and most especially, clean drinking water. Yet, there is a well of hope coming to eastern Congo in a village called Uvira. Washington, D.C.'s National Community Church is partnering with Global Outreach to bring a water pipeline to the Congo for Christ compound, an orphanage for children who have lost their parents to war and AIDS. Building a clean water source will sustain the school, provide for the children, and hundreds more in the village. Go to www.waterforcongo.com. Learn about the work of Global Outreach and give. You can be part of the community in Uvira, and like a well, you can be a source of hope in life. www.waterforcongo.com.
Hi, I'm Drew Brees, NFL quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, here with Bugs Bunny to remind you to get moving every day.
Because when you get moving an hour a day,
you fuel your body and your mind.
So what do you like to throw around the football like Drew?
Skateboard.
Play frisbee in the park.
Ride a bike.
Kick the soccer ball around.
Or dance in your room.
Just move it your way.
Because nothing makes you feel better than moving every day.
And that makes you part of a winning team.
So be a player.
You'll have more energy to do the things you like to do.
Move it your way and be a player.
Get up and play an hour a day, Doc. Check out how to be a player at letsmove.gov.
Head online to get tips on great ways to get moving every day.
That's right, at letsmove.gov. Let's hear that one more time, Doc. That's www.letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
I'll pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Intelligent Talk on WRC 1260.
Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We have just been treated to the insights of an extraordinary man, Michael Mukasey, about an extraordinarily important problem, namely the effort of the Muslim Brotherhood and other Islamists to destroy us from within, as the Brotherhood mission statement has called for, by our own hands, as it also has called for. I want to stitch this together with the story that is much in the news at the moment, namely the failure of the so-called super committee to arrive at a compromise on how to reduce by $1.2 trillion the yawning federal deficit. This was a predictable outcome. In fact, our friend and colleague on this program, Fred Grandy, with whom we'll be speaking momentarily, has for some time now been describing it as a box canyon for Republicans in particular. He has used that as a metaphor, that sort of naturally occurring dead-end geological formation that in the Wild West was used by, Indians and desperados to trap and snare their prey, because he saw this is what was going to befall his Republican colleagues on Capitol Hill as this played out. In other words, he anticipated that when it came down to either one, having the Congressional Supercommittee come up with $1.2 trillion in cuts, or alternatively, when or if that failed,
having reductions in that amount achieved through automatic cuts, half from domestic discretionary spending and half from the Pentagon's budget. He knew this was a loser for Republicans. It's also a loser for the country. We'll be discussing this with Fred in a moment, but what has now dawned on just about everybody in the absence of an agreement by the supercommittee is that we're going to see, all other things being equal, half of those $1.2 billion in cuts automatically taken from the Pentagon, from our national security capabilities, from the men and women who we rely upon to defend us against our enemies. That half a trillion dollars that has already been taken out of the Pentagon's budget would be, in other words, more than doubled by another $600 billion that would effectively preclude us from modernizing our military, from doing the sorts of vitally important research and development that assures that our armed forces will be capable of deterring or at least effectively competing with tomorrow's threats. We're also witnessing the contraction of the military so that there will be fewer of our forces in hotspots around the world able to protect our interests and our lives. They will have worn out equipment because we're not even going to be able to maintain much of what we have been using exhaustively for the past 10 years in one conflict or another. We will see their benefits reduced, their pensions, their health care, all of which will make it much, much more difficult to retain, let alone attract, the kind of high-caliber people that we have relied upon to populate our all-volunteer force in time of war, in which we have seen many of them deployed for 4, 5, in some cases 6 times on combat tours. It is especially troubling to me that one of those seemingly most delighted at this outcome is an individual described over the weekend by 60 Minutes as the most powerful man in Washington, Grover Norquist, best known for his anti-tax activism at an organization he founded and runs called Americans for Tax Reform. What 60 Minutes failed to tell anybody about, but what makes his present activities and glee that we are going to not just hollow out the military, but eviscerate it. What makes that so troubling is that Grover Norquist has, since 1999, been working hand in glove with enemies of this country, specifically the Muslim Brotherhood and operatives of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is not well known. And again, as I say, 60 Minutes, which did know about this but chose not to make any mention of it in its puff piece about Grover Norquist, and thereby kept the American people in the dark about what he has been doing and is doing today on behalf of America's enemies, has created a further, I believe, grave liability for this country and its vital interests and its people, specifically by weakening the United States military, by hollowing it out, by demoralizing our troops, by forcing the cashiering of hundreds of thousands of them, by exacerbating the economic circumstances the country finds itself in, by forcing perhaps 1 million individuals currently employed, either directly or indirectly, with the American defense industrial base to be laid off. These are not, by the way, folks, shovel-ready jobs that they're losing. These are actual high-paying jobs, skilled employment. So what is Grover Norquist up to? And you're going to hear more, I suspect, both from him and about him in the days ahead. The Democrats have decided that they will pillory him
for being the impediment to a compromise. Republicans will find themselves defending their fealty to Grover Norquist in connection with the tax pledge he induced many of them to sign, in some cases years ago, under very different circumstances. But the thing that's so troubling is that Grover Norquist, in his effort to make defense expenditures the bill payer for deficit reduction, rather than contemplate, let alone allow, revenue increases, enhancements, tax increases, if you will, to be even put on the table. He is serving the interests of those who are determined to destroy this country, whether it's from vantage points elsewhere around the world or here at home. And I believe that the American people, and certainly their elected representatives, have a responsibility to understand that when they are conforming to the dictates of a guy like Grover Norquist, they need to be clear about what his agenda is, for whom he is working, and towards what ends. And as Attorney General Michael Mukasey made clear in our first two segments with him today, our enemies are deadly serious about their stealthy civilization jihad. They seek the destruction of our government, the replacement of our Constitution with Sharia, and the enslavement of all non-Muslims, and for that matter, Muslims, who fail to conform to their Sharia agenda. If Grover Norquist is aiding and abetting them, and in fact, if he has been doing so for over a decade, surely that ought to bear on the decision as to whether Republicans, conservatives, or indeed anybody follows his direction with respect to the vital security interests of this country and our ability to safeguard them, which is now in decided jeopardy as a result of the budget box canyon Grover Norquist has helped put us in. Those are my thoughts. We're going to get more from Fred Grandy, who coined that phrase, in a moment. His perspective on the dire straits we now find ourselves in and what his former colleagues on Capitol Hill should be thinking and doing about it. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
I went from a size 18 down to a size 5, and I was able to keep it off.
Angie had some serious challenges.
I had gone through a divorce and put on quite a bit of weight. There was an accident where I was put on a lot of medications, and I put on over 60 pounds. I tried every kind of diet, but diets just did not work.
Diets don't work is something they hear a lot over at the MetaSystem from Judy Singer.
I heard about Judy Singer's MetaSystem, and I thought, well, you know, couldn't hurt to call, and I called them up, and they told me all about the product, and I thought, well, I'll give it a try. From the first week that I was on it, I wasn't hungry a lot, and it was just amazing. Jumping about 3 months ahead, I dropped 63 pounds.
If you're ready for a natural product that cleanses your system and helps you lose fat, talk to a Judy Singer counselor about the MetaSystem. Call 1-800-711-JUDY. 1-800-711-JUDY. The MetaSystem from Judy Singer. Powerful, all-natural weight loss. 1-800-711-JUDY.
Hi. This is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas,
ammo is money. The center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have held the same mirror for 13 years.
I have been decorated with purple dinosaurs, baseball teams, and football helmets.
I have witnessed 33 Thanksgiving dinners and one wedding proposal.
I have tiny notches marking the growth of three children.
I have caused a learning disability.
I am the reason that a fifth grader simply can't sit still.
I am responsible for a five-year-old's rage.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home is built before 1978, your family could be at risk. Let's make all kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
I am the reason a child has trouble hearing.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Is Nancy Pelosi looking to a higher power to get a balanced budget? Hugh Hewitt sets her straight.
When I hear you speak about this issue, of course, it's the Gospel of Matthew. When I was hungry, you begged me to eat and listen to the Gospel.
I just got
to
stop here. Nancy Pelosi quoting the Gospel of Matthew, as though that's got anything to do with the government. Let me just tell you, it doesn't.
Can I get an amen?
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weeknights from 6 to 9 on 1260 WRC. New choice, intelligent talk.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill,
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home,
or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org.
Even if it's just everyday stuff,
like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say that?
Really?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back for segment four of Secure Freedom Radio with our regular collaborator now on this program, Fred Grandy. Fred, you were guest hosting yesterday. It's great to have you back with us today in a commentating role on something that has been sort of the theme of the day. We spoke earlier in the program with former Attorney General Michael Mukasey, who, as you know, has just made an extraordinary address to the Federalist Society. We visited with him about his thinking, his awareness, really, now, of the stealth jihad, something he acknowledged he didn't really appreciate when he was in office, the Muslim Brotherhood's role in it, the extent to which they've been running quite successfully influence operations against us, penetration of our government and the like. And I want to come back to that in a moment and just visit with you about something I talked about in the intervening segment, segment three, about the defense cuts that are now in prospect. If your former colleagues on Capitol Hill wind up not providing relief or being unable to provide relief from the effects of this Box Canyon, as you've called it several times now, and the sequestration mechanism that is about to kick in.
Well, all I can say right now is this was a very artfully constructed ambush by the president, and you could tell by how quickly he was at the podium yesterday blaming the Republicans for the collapse of this particular endeavor. And, you know, as I've said before, they were between a rock and a hard place. They could either raise taxes to pay for defense or they could cut defense. Neither one acceptable. Now, I think one of the reasons this thing was doomed from the start is because most members know that they never go into a deal without an out clause. And in this case, they are probably artfully telling themselves, well, you know, we can arrange when we get into the appropriation process, or if we get into another lame duck session, we can probably restructure these cuts or reorient them. But that is of no consolation to budget planners at the Pentagon,
right,
who have to go with what they believe is the truth. And right now the truth is, what is it, 450, 500 billion in cuts, and I don't know how much of that is in the first year, but all of that affects all of the strategic planning, whereas members can always kind of, you know, give themselves a certain amount of wiggle room. The people that actually have to create defense strategy do not have that wiggle room. And that's
right.
That's why I think to some degree Republicans allowed themselves to be played by Barack Obama and Democrats, who never had the slightest intention of making any meaningful cuts in entitlement programs, particularly health care. And that's, as you know, Frank, is where the money is and will be for many years to come.
Right. We're speaking with Fred Grandy, former member of Congress, a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, and a featured guest host and contributor to this program. Fred, before we come to the Republican complicity in this exercise, let me just linger for a moment with you on this idea of how people with real responsibilities, not just for strategy in the Defense Department, but for programs, for the pension plans, for the training of our military, for the schools that support our military's children, and all the rest of the practical, real-world responsibilities that such folks have. They have, as you say, not just to apply what they see as the reality of the moment, they have to apply the law. And it's, as you indicated, already 485, I think some estimates are, billion in cuts now in the pipeline. But on top of it, this sequestration business is going to whack another $600 billion, again, unless there's some sort of relief. And I get the sense that you're right, a lot of people on the Hill, and for that matter probably elsewhere, just don't get the disconnect between those hard realities at the Pentagon and the sort of gamesmanship that often we see accompanying legislation on the Hill.
No, but I can tell you, yesterday when I was filling in for you on the program, I talked to a couple of people who are predicting what this planning is going to be like. One of them, Robert Zarate, who's at the Foreign Policy Institute, and I said, well, talk me through this theater by theater. If these budget cuts happen, are we actually looking at strategic objectives and theaters of war and security competing with one another for resources? He said, absolutely. Mm. You pit the Middle East against the Pacific. I mean, who wins that? The Chinese, the Iranians.
Right. And they're sort of, I think, licking their chops at that prospect. Coming back, Fred, to something you were talking about there, this Grover Norquist business. You have been watching this guy for a long time. I believe you've had him on your program back before you lost your program because of the Islamists, let's be honest, with whom he has been working since 1999. I was talking about this before bringing you on. To what extent do you think, as a former member of Congress with close ties to many who are still serving, with whom you had previously served, that we're likely to see in the face of this Box Canyon, in the face of this kind of really hard awakening to a very ugly situation, that Grover Norquist has helped get them in, you'll see more members of Congress picking up the lead of as I say, your former colleague and friend Frank Wolf, who made a statement of conscience about all this about a month ago?
Well, unfortunately right now, Frank Wolf is still kind of a coalition of one. He's publicly spoken out about Grover's handcuffing the membership of the Republican Party and some Democrats. But again, you could see his hand in the whole budget negotiations breaking down. A very conservative Republican from Pennsylvania, Pat Toomey, former president of the Club for Growth, was trying to create a kind of revenue mix and tax cut plan that was immediately dished by his fellow Republicans because it had, God forbid, some revenue changes in it. As long as you have one guy presiding over the policy ethos of a party, you might as well have Tammany Hall. You might as well have George Soros or some derivation thereof. And as you pointed out when we were talking before, I think he, Grover, could materially harm the Republican brand if he continues to hold the kind of power he does. I just hope members, in addition to Frank Wolf, are beginning to see the liability attached to this guy's support.
Yeah. Well, I've been participating in a lot of conversations recently with conservative leaders, and it's ironic. I completely agree with what you've just said, Fred Grandy, that that he could damage the Republican brand. Oh, perhaps as badly as he and his friend Jack Abramoff did 7 or 8 years ago now, ruinously damage it on Capitol Hill for a time. But beyond that, I think there's this question of people are saying, well, he's the only thing that is going to assure the survival of the Republican brand, because the Republican brand is all about no new taxes, and that's the, of course, the object of his tax pledge, which is the source of so much of his perceived power. As 60 Minutes said, I mentioned earlier, making him the most powerful man in Washington. To what extent do you think that Republicans, I gather you did not take the tax pledge, is that right, when you were in office?
You know something, Frank, I can't even remember. I might have, but I, you know, as a guy who supported George H.W. Bush, he tried to make some kind of goal line stand against a spiraling budget back in 1992, and of course lost his job because of it.
Right.
I guess I was on no longer on Grover's preferred list after that, because I was an apostate.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But you know, this is the problem that Republicans face. Sometimes, you know, the perfect becomes the enemy of the good, and lower taxes are part of responsible government, but not the only piece. And
right.
And quite honestly, a binding pledge that stretches over 4 or 5 terms is, I think, a contract with the devil, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's well said, and may be quite literally true in this case. Fred, just in closing on this, we're going to have the debate on foreign policy tonight, about the time we're broadcasting, as a matter of fact, in the Washington market. We are likely or not likely to hear talk of this particular set of concerns in the course of that debate, very quickly.
Well, I think on defense spending, absolutely. I think this will be topic one. And I think a lot of Republicans will, of course, be trying to tag the president with responsibility. But unfortunately, they'll have the pulpit for one night, and he'll have it indefinitely.
Yeah.
What I'm hoping to hear is what their strategic objectives for our areas of interest, like the Middle East and the Far East, are going to be in light of downsized defense spending. That, to me, is a critical question that begs an answer.
It does indeed. We hope to get them, and we'll be certainly digesting them with you in the days ahead. Fred Grandy, our guest, our co-host, and our much-esteemed colleague at the Center for Security Policy, thanks for your insights, as always. We'll be talking with you very soon. And we'll be talking with the rest of you, I hope, tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks so much for listening.